Israelites were learning what that meant to be good listeners. They had to learn it all the time. They traveled a long ways in their lives, and they had a lot of questions, and they had a lot of complaining to do along with their questions. They began to demonstrate confidence in what they want and are given what they need. But now they're set free to the land of promise. Set free from being under the control of people telling them what to do, when to do it, how to do it, where to go. That was their lifestyle. That was their norm. They were getting to approach life in a whole new way. And anxiousness popped up in their hearts as this happened. That's what's read between the lines of Exodus 15 through Exodus 18. And the passage, that little passage I read, is just a brief glimpse of all of that. I thought about a hymn as I've prepared called "I'll Be Somewhere Listening." If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening to my Lord. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening to my Lord. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening to my Lord. That's my special. Okay? So, that says of the Israelites' heart, all right, he's coming. And he's coming today too. God knew when the Israelites, where they came from, what they were dealing with, and their present and promised. So how does God help when things seem to be impossible? That's what I was thinking. That's the focus. First of all, the journey of Moses and the children of Israel seemed to be an impossible place and situation. God knew the needs that seemed to have impossibility to him. In the setting, they just left a place that was full of trees for shade, a place full of nothing but sand and heat and no provisions. That's where they were at. And there could be a negative story rising to the surface for Moses. They were in a place that was full of surprise. They didn't tend to trust anyone. They were servants of Egyptians, slaves of Egyptians. Pharaoh was fed more food every day than they had ever laid their eyes on before. They wanted to believe in what Moses was going to do. But they were not afraid to complain loud enough to make sure they were being listened to. God used Moses as the go-between. Moses had a very frustrating, I don't want to say job, but he learned how to be what he was when he did it. God did not pick a perfect person to be their leader. He never really picks, none of us are perfect. And Moses fought him to take on this role that he had, like a lot of people do usually to take on roles of leadership. The Lord chose him to lead a large group of people to a place none of them had ever been. The people had no experience of self-government. They'd always had things in a way for them taken care of. Why do you think that all the book of Leviticus was written? That was the rules for them to help them get used to society. But though they had been enslaved in Egypt, at least their lives were predictable. But now free, there were challenges. The challenge to feed and provide water for thousands of people. Thousands of people. Not many pastors face that task. How does one act as an intermediary between God and a huge group of folks who barely know him? Which is kind of the strange lifestyle of an itinerant minister. To use the right words. Some ministers wonder whether their people really know God. Some don't know him well. Moses led the group the size of the, would outnumber the largest church in the world. I don't think very many people would want that appointment. Jim Ed Matheson built his church with two mobile homes to have a very large church in Montgomery, Alabama. Whatever the challenge that we face, it's good to have some precedent for dealing with them. There's something that people have in common with the passage. The Israelites ask Moses, is the Lord among us? Is the Lord not among us? This is the question. Next, there's a conversation in the second part of Moses and God providing answers that seem to be a bit impossible. They demonstrate what God can do. First and foremost, Moses listened intently to all the feelings of people. When you hear the word, someone says, I appreciate what you had to say. They really sincerely mean that. So there can be a conversation that's calm. They had never had a real leader among them before. What's it like to have a person that's got so much talent that you want to soak it up? Not copy them, but learn from them. So he listened to them to the point of the saying to God, what do I do with them? Moses knew what the people could do to him, and he let God know about them as they occurred. He did not want to be stoned because they did not trust his leadership skills or lack of them. They're about to stone him because they seemed to have no answers for them. It's like they were being ignored. God could have been impatient and angry with them, and he could have just eliminated the whole deal, the whole situation. But God chose not to. Instead, he called a meeting. I always joke with Cindy, I said, we've got to have a meeting. So we ain't having no meeting, Michael. But God called a meeting with Moses and those influential people in the lives of the children of Israel. And it was a special moment for Moses. He organized them in a way that the ones chosen would be able to calm down the crowds after the very special event. He figured out what personalities could do what. And who had what gifts and who had what abilities. And that rises to the top in a congregation as time goes by. And we really do show that as congregations. It does happen. And it seems not all people were filled with accusations to do away with Moses for not taking care of them. Perhaps the people remembered the rod or the staff Moses carried with him when he did it, what he did with it in the past. He had this tool, his rod, The same rod he used to take care of the plagues in Egypt. The reminder of God's parting of the Nile. All God required Moses was bring those influential Israelites. They're very highly intelligent people that were filled with uncertainty, and his staff. And God will do the rest. So when we cry out, we're illustrating how God points us in the right directions. Because of life's many uncertainties, we cannot always know what will happen. There are ways that we can take precautions to protect ourselves from harmfulness. Our world is filled with good medical facilities in this county, and it makes me feel comfortable to go to the hospital. Because I've been in rural hospitals and are a little spooky, okay? Yeah. And there's many forms of insurances and ways to plan for the future, but they may end up being needed for now because circumstances beyond our control happen. The tragedy isn't that things happen to good people. The tragedy is because bad things happen, we don't always trust good people. So now, there's an application to it. How do we trust good people? In this day and age, people don't pick up hitchhikers very much at all. Well, in my case, I would go to the post office in Goodwater, Alabama, and drive my truck. And there'd be this man every week walking down the road. And he had a limp, and his arm didn't work. And it was raining, so I stopped and picked him up. And we had a talk that day. We found out we could trust each other. I asked him, well, how long had you been here? He says, well, I moved from far away. In what town? And I said, well, I know about that town. He goes, do you know so-and-so? He goes, yeah, I've heard of that man. He was kind of not a real popular man. He worked under cash basis only and used money orders for his business. He said, well, I worked for him. I repaired his mobile homes. And we listened to each other. And I told him enough about people that he knew and I knew that we made friends. We made friends. Trust happens one relationship at a time. How many of those Israelites trusted Moses to lead them? How many ended up realizing in order to trust someone, they needed to listen? And finally, how many times would God and Moses have to prove to them that God was listening? So now, thirdly, Moses follows directions that seem impossible. He places his trust in providing directions. He contained in his hands a symbol of trust, the staff, the rod. To the people in his past that heard him communicate himself along with the few that went with him to the rock at Mount Sinai to meet God. The place miracles have occurred in Moses' life. So now point to what God will add to their lives today as another miracle will occur. This is a place where God's presence came down on the rock in a very unique manner. Moses would be commanded to strike a rock in a very dry place where water would show up. The striking of the rock was symbolistic, full of symbolism. It could be the foreshadowing of the death of our Savior. Water did come forth from the rock to satisfy their thirsty needs. And in the future, the living water would satisfy the spiritual thirst of all the people who would accept Jesus into their heart as their Lord and Savior. that was the result of Jesus' crucifixion. A steady stream of water placed them on their journey. There are places God shows up when we need to trust him. God can do the impossible, and he does. There's no need for us to ask for more than what we need. He's going to fulfill our needs. As we see when God provided manna in the wilderness to eat, there was no need for leftovers, which would spoil, and they did let it spoil. But God gives us all we need and sometimes even more. What does this mean to follow an application of instructions? I recall a memory, and I found out Brother Walter had been in the same place. I recall the first time I stopped on the County Road 119 at the foot of Pine Mountain, past the Redbird Mission School and churches, an hour and a half off of Interstate 75. What's there is a water well with a pipe that comes out of a wall. And it's spring water. And as children, we would fill bottles up with it and drink it on the way home from my Grandma Samuels' house in Harlan County, Kentucky. The tradition lasted for years and years. My brother took his first wife there. I took my wife there. They go, what are you doing taking us to get a bottle of water for? That was interesting. As children, we got our parents to follow instructions to stop the spring well before turning on Highway 25 and Pineville. That's a special moment that's frozen in time. I always looked forward to that. Even as we got our driver's license, the value of spring water before spring water became costly and is sold in bottles for $1.50 a bottle, or wrapped a plastic wrap around it. The Publix will carry it to your car, by the way, but nobody else in town will do that kind of stuff. So, the water that strengthened the Israelites did not come that way. As I read Moses holding up his rod, there was a sign of victory that only God could provide when he held up that rod. It supplied the impossible strength that Israel needed. They would go on and face people on this journey that would face off with them in battle after battle after battle. Moses would stand with other leaders along the way as he lifted up the same staff to God, as again God performed the impossible. See, we have our Lord, the living water, surrounding us with purity and blessings, so we can let down our rods and receive that which is pure, that is God's grace that supplies our needs. We can every day ask God to do something, and he's waiting for us to ask him for help. I watched you on Facebook last week. This was full of people asking for help. And out there too. It was a good Sunday last week. It was good. God's going to work one person at a time, and one place at a time, and one relationship at a time. He doesn't forget faithful people. I put scripture first. So how can God do the impossible? Let's sing about that as he'll do the impossible. Singing Amazing Grace as we have a call to discipleship at this time during this hymn. May the road rise up to meet you, the wind be at your back, the sun shine warm upon your face, and the rain fall softly upon your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hands. Amen. And our offering plates are at the back doors.